Well, good morning, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office in the midst of another week of lockdown. So hopefully everybody's doing well. I was thinking the other day that if we listen to these sermons a couple of years from now, hopefully I won't be saying things like, we're in the midst of another lockdown. But that is the case, and I know that people are struggling. We have been praying for you. If you have any need, please contact the church. Please give me a call. Let me know how we can best serve you and help you through this time. I know that with everything going on, not just the lockdown, but the lockdown of schools affects families and jobs and finances and things. We're just anticipating things getting really difficult. But I want to encourage you, as we will learn this morning, that even though things are difficult, God is able and He is willing. And so those are two good things. And He is working on our behalf, which is good, no matter what. Doesn't matter what the news says. It matters what God says. So this morning, I want to just remind you of why you're here. The Bible says that you are to study, to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth, or one who understands how to rightly divide the word of truth, which is what we're going to do this morning. And so that is why we gather. And I want to talk to this morning about the workers in the harvest field. And so we are in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And so according to the Bible, when you read through it, every Christian has a gift, right? At least one of the, I believe personally, that every Christian has all the fruits and all the gifts of the Spirit. They're there, and the possibility to use them is there. However, not every Christian will use those gifts. They may from time to time or one time in their walk, but most times they will sort of focus on one gift or two gifts that God is using them in as they begin to hone their calling and things of that nature. And so I believe what the Bible says, that everybody has a gift, everybody has something to contribute, right? The scripture says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God and His grace. It's in various forms. And if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. That's out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. So it's an important step in determining how to best serve the church is for us to discover what our spiritual gifts are, right? And so, of course, you know, we don't have to know what our gift is before we start serving. The fact is, we got to start serving. And what happens is our gifts begin to develop, and they begin to, you know, sort of communicate to us where we belong in the church. Remember, we're all part of a body, right? So our text this morning is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And it says, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw that the crowds had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So a couple of, you know, quick observations here. First of all, Jesus does three things. He actually does four things here. He talks about the work. He talks about the conditions. He talks about the problem. And he talks about the solution, right? So for those of you that think that, you know, Jesus is sort of far off from where we are today, and that we, you know, really don't have a lot of things in common with him, I beg to differ. I think that Jesus was a problem solver. I think he would have been a great businessman, especially in today's demand. He would have been awesome, because this is what he does. He assesses the situation, and the first thing he does is he's talking about the work, and he defines the work very clearly, right? And his work was in verse 35. He said that he was teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and disease, right? And if you look at the work that we are left with, that is the Great Commission, the teaching and the preaching and the baptizing and the healing and the driving out demons, all of that is the work of the church. And so the first thing he does is, okay, this is the standard. This is what I want you doing, teaching, preaching, and healing. And then he gives the condition, right? The condition of that day, or the condition in which we will perform our gifts and services. So the people were harassed, right? And he says they were helpless and they were without leadership, right? That is the current condition of the people. And I want you to pay close attention in terms of how similar the days are today than they were back then when Jesus looked out across the people and saw the condition of their time. It's not much different, right? So he gives the work, the teaching, the preaching, the healing. He gives a condition, harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he gives the problem. And the problem is here, it's a pure capacity issue, right? He could have said the people were lazy. He could have said, you know, blamed it on a lot of things. But he saw through all of that. And he said the needs of the people are great. And the workers are few. And the potential harvest is a great opportunity for workers to take advantage of it. However, there's more work than people, right? He sort of bottom line the problem for us to get our minds around. You have this great harvest, you have a small amount of workers, and what do we need? We need more workers, right? And there's a way we go about doing that. And in verse 38, he gives us the solution. So not only does he give us the work, the condition, the problem, but then he solves it for us. What an awesome thing, right? He says the solution, go out and recruit people and get them working for the Lord. Let's read that again. No, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he will send out workers into his field. So a couple of things that we can learn with respect to the solution is that this is not only God's harvest, but it's his work, right? And he does the sending. And I think a lot of times, guys, you know, I have made the mistake, several times, of trying to recruit people. If you go to a Christian bookstore, back when we could go to bookstores, you would see a lot of literature, a lot of books written by Christian authors, how to raise up people in your church, right? How to recruit people. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. Well, the first thing that we're supposed to be doing, and it's not that we're not supposed to be making the needs known to the body, we should do that, but the first thing we got to be doing is praying. So the first thing that I see when I look here at and going deeper is Jesus lived the purpose, right? And it wasn't something that we had to, I'm sure if he asked people to write down at that particular time what his job description was, they could do it very easily. Preaching, teaching, and healing was something that we see Jesus doing almost every day of his ministry, right? So I want to read a scripture out of Isaiah that was foretold about the work that he would be doing. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Now, thousands of years earlier, Isaiah wrote about what Jesus would be doing and the work that Jesus is doing here in the beginning of the New Testament is consistent with what the prophecy was, right? So we know that preaching, teaching, and healing and ministering to people was his job, and it was going to be the job not only of Jesus, but the people that would follow him, right? So the second thing I see is, as we go deeper, is Jesus saw the people. In other words, he looked at the harvest, right? And what did he see? Well, he saw three things, and let's go a little bit deeper into what those things mean, right? He saw the people harassed. Now, when I think of the word harassed, it's probably not a good translation of that Greek word, because the Greek word means troubled and annoyed, right? And I guess you could use harassed, but I think troubled and annoyed is a little bit more pinpoint in terms of the condition of the people. They were burdened. They were weighed down. In another place, he said, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden. And I will give you my yoke. Remember, take off your yoke of this world. It was weighing them down. So they're harassed, they're troubled, and they're annoyed, right? Another translation of this word is pushed around or slammed against the concrete. The second thing that they were was helpless. And they were, that word helpless is weak and tossed aside. That's what it means, to be weak and tossed aside. And then the third, they were without a shepherd, or without leadership, without somebody to guide them, without somebody to feed them, without somebody to protect them, without somebody to discipline them. And so if you look, I just want you to sort of pay close attention this morning to the condition of the people, because I want you to see all of the same sort of attributes that these people had in their day that we as people have in our day, right? The people today are harassed. They're troubled and annoyed. They're troubled and annoyed over our economy. They're troubled and annoyed over this lockdown and this disease. They're fearful. They're misinformed. They're troubled and annoyed over the political fallout that's happening right now. And the for somebody to be able to define what truly racism is and a way to fight it, I think that people in the United States don't want to be racist at all. The majority of people in the United States don't want to live in a racist society. However, we fail to define what racism is, and we fail to define a way to fix it. And that's why there's trouble, and that's why there's people that are annoyed, right? The ways that we're going about fixing it right now are not ways that are going to fix it long term. I'm telling you right now. It's a political solution, but it's not a social solution. And the people that were, helpless back then are helpless now. They're tossed aside and they feel weak. They feel like their voice doesn't matter, not only in the church, but in the political scene. And they just basically do what they're told, no matter what. And we are living in a less free society every day that we live upon this earth, right? And the last thing is that they are definitely without a shepherd, especially those outside the church. There's nobody standing up leading them or guiding them. What they want to do is, when they get into that situation where they feel like nobody's leading them in their life, they want the government to do that. And I'm telling you right now, the worst entity to lead people is the government, particularly the United States government. I don't need my government to lead me or to guide me or to feed me or to protect me or to discipline me. I don't need that. I need the government to do what it was intended to do. All these other things come from my relationship with Christ. All these other things come because I manage myself, right? And that's what we're to be teaching people to do. The third thing is Jesus saw the problem, right? And there are always more needs than willing workers. That's just the way it is. This was true in Christ's day, and it's still true today. It's never a problem to find a need in the local church, from evangelizing the community, which all of us are supposed to be doing, to cleaning, the bathrooms. There's always a plenty of work to be done, and it's good to inquire of the church leadership regarding the needs of your church and our church, and have a conversation with me or Paula about, what job openings there are in the church so that you can be serving, right? You think with everybody not working, you think with everybody having, more time on their hands, that they would be more people serving in the church. We have less people serving now than we've ever had. And that's not good, right? And number four, Jesus saw the promise. He saw the promise. So back to the first one. Jesus lived the purpose. Jesus saw the people. Jesus solved or saw the problem. And now Jesus saw the promise to how to fix this whole thing. And the spiritual harvest is a result of God's work in the heart of man. And it's clear from the parable of the seed and the sower that some of the people's hearts are good soil, right? And when the Lord, when the word of God comes and is sown there, the person accepts it and continues to grow and mature. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. And there's nothing that we can do to change the soil. That is God's job, right? It's his job to change the soil. However, we can be faithful to sow seed, and that's what God wants us to do, because he gives the increase to that harvest. The process of spiritual growth and maturity from the heart, of somebody that's regenerated comes from this recognition of faith, and it's a long journey, right? In fact, the Bible indicates that that the sower, you know, the one planting the seeds and the tender and the reaper, they're likely to be different people at different times. This is a drawn out process here. So a couple of things to apply this morning. Number one, we need to account, you know, for the harvest. We need to. And how do we do that? You guys, it's in the circle of our friends that we surround ourselves with. It's in our neighborhood. It's in our city. The harvest is where you and people are, wherever that is. And what does Jesus say? What is the example here? Is to look, to define them. What is their condition? What is the problem? How are they not receiving the word of God? Where is it being blocked, right? We know that in the last days, men will be boastful, proud, arrogant. Right there, boastful, proud, and pride and arrogance can block the word of God, right? And what are we supposed to do? We're not only are we supposed to be sharing, but we're also supposed to be praying for them. So we need to account for the harvest. We need to look, right? The second thing is we need to be moved with compassion to do something about it. You know, as Christians everywhere, we should be serving God in the local churches and looking for opportunities to serve outside the church. Well, I'm here to tell you, everything is outside now. We are outside the church, and we're probably going to be outside the church for a long time. And it may be difficult to discover what your spiritual gift is, but you got to get busy and figure that out, right? You have a gift that God has given you to share and to build and to grow and to minister to the harvest that God has, excuse me, put before you. So often there's, you know, when people discover their gifts, you know, they begin doing the things that they believe God has called them to do. And again, there's this honing process. And I don't know that if you're a seed planter or a discipler or where you fit in the process here, but when our job, we know to get this whole thing moving is to do what? To pray. It leads me to my third point. We have to be people of prayer. I met with the men yesterday at the men's breakfast and encouraged them. Our job is to be praying through this time. We have the Antichrist who's probably ready, who's probably already doing the things that the Bible says that he's doing, which is to get this one world thinking, one world way of thinking so that he could accomplish his purpose. And right now, the people in our country are being duped, right? We're being duped into all these other things instead of what the true problem really is. The true problem is that we don't know Jesus, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And there's so much opportunity, right? And notice how Jesus looks at this as opportunity and work to be done. They're not defeated. We haven't lost yet. In fact, we're never going to lose. The Bible says that we win in this situation. But he needs us to do that. He needs us to be praying, and he needs us to be serving. He needs us to be available, right? He wants you to go look at the harvest that he's put you in. He's put you in a field, and his intention is that you look around and see what the needs are, what the condition of the people is. And guys, right now, your harvest and my harvest have never been in more trouble. There are people that are hurting. There are people, like I said before, with just about every problem you could imagine. We're seeing our emergency rooms filled, literally, with psych patients, right, instead of COVID patients, and yet we're putting a mask on to fight a disease that we probably will never get. And yet the cure for that, which was locking everybody down and throwing them in their homes and not allowing them to go out and taking their job and taking their money, that's caused a whole other problem. So the cure is worse than the disease. There's people in the ER that have just started to become an alcoholic within the last 6 months. Guys, that's not good. Not good. A drug addict for the first time in the last 6 months. Suicide is going through the roof. Suicide hotlines are going through the roof. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest so that he may send out workers, right? If you listen online and you've never accepted Jesus Christ and you want to do so, I'm praying for you now that this Lord of the harvest wants to speak to you and he wants to minister to you and he wants to change your life. And he can do that. And the Bible says that you believe with your mouth and confess with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And once you're saved, he's going to give you the gifts of the Spirit. He's going to give you the fruits of the Spirit, and you will find your place in the body of Christ. And you will dwell with the Lord forever, and he will come back and receive you unto himself that you may be where he is in heaven. If you made that decision today, please contact the church. It's the website that you're on right now. Let us know about the great decision that you've made so that we may rejoice with you. And if you are a regular listener, I ask you, in Jesus' name, that he has shown you, O man and woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Three things: that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. I pray that you go do that this morning. God bless you guys.